So many of us have done a really good job, bang up job, I might add, of trying to find satisfaction in terrible, depressing situations. We may say, well, my love life sucks, but my business, yeah, I'm slaying that, I'm doing good. Or my kids look like the devil raised them, but at least I raised some great hobbies. Catch me on the golf course, I've got a great swing. You know, one area of our life is great and the other is so bad. We think we're gonna be on Maury Perfect. Okay, I'm dating myself. Talk show, Red Table Talk, all those places, and just dish all. Maybe go on Dr. Phil. But does it really have to be that way? Do we really have to have one end of our life perfect, shiny, brilliant, great, enviable, while the rest of our life looks like a train wreck? No, I don't think so. We can finally stop neglecting one or more areas of our life and finally just get ourselves to a place where it ain't totally perfect, but we are actually good with the direction of our life. This is what we're going to be talking about in today's episode. We're going to be talking about balance. We're going to be talking about how in the world we get our minds thinking stuff that is not even making any sense. And more importantly, let's get a game plan going so that when we are out of balance, out of whack, what we can do to get ourselves back on track. We're going to get to all that coming to you after this short break. Hey, 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 and welcome to the Introverted Entrepreneur Podcast. My name is Denise Lee, and I'm a life and business coach for entrepreneurs who are willing, excited, and motivated to improve not just how they make their money, but how they live their life. And if you are all about those kind of conversations, this is the place to be. I am so excited about all the conversations I have had over the years. I love talking with you guys offline, and I want to make sure that this is a healthy, safe place for you to be. So if you haven't done so already, make sure you hit that follow or subscribe button. So as soon as I drop a new episode, which is usually on Mondays and Wednesdays, you'll be able to listen to it lickety-split. And let's get social on social media. The best and most reliable place to find me is on X. My handle is Denise G. Lee, and you also have the opportunity to connect with me on my website, deniseglee.com, where I post articles, just a lot of information about not just growing your business, but understanding yourself, understanding how you come to think the way that you think. A lot of the things that I write about were birthed out of my own pain and frustration. So I've taken 10 plus years of understanding psychology, science, all of these ideas about personal development, and it distilled into very easy to read, actionable articles that you can take advantage of it. And also via my website, deniseglee.com, you'll be able to inquire about working with me one-on-one if that's something that interests you. Take your life script, learn who you are, how your culture, your past, your thoughts about who you are, your identity shapes who you are. One of the things that has stopped us from living a fulfilled life is that we have tapes, ideas that are playing in the background of our mind, and we've never challenged that. Knowing your life script is going to change all of that. So I'm going to leave links to my website, my social media, signing up to my mailing list if that's something that interests you, and obviously working with me one-on-one. But right now, I want to talk about this idea of finding balance, because it's weird as entrepreneurs because we're really motivated and passionate about serving our audience or the people that we want to show up for. It's not really so much about the money. I think for a lot of people who think they want to be entrepreneurs and they're all about the money, no, you're just about trying to find safety and security. But I'm speaking to the people who are just consumed with doing a good job in order to help build more awareness, to be able to give to others what they have themselves, to be able to have a legacy so that others don't have to go through the same miserable traps and miserable experiences they have. Those are the people, if that's you, that's who I'm talking to right now. And because of that passion, because of that exuberance, it kind of lends to unbalanced lifestyle. And I'm going to talk about five different types of ways. And for some of you guys who are listening, you might be a friendly combo of more than one. It doesn't, and as I'm saying this, I'm not trying to make you feel bad or to make you go, oh gosh, another reminder of things that have to be improved. Like, we are all works of progress. I really want to get out of this distorted idea that somehow we will wake up beautiful, sexy, wealthy, and wise, and then all of our problems will go away. We're not talking about having our problems go away. We're talking about finding ways that we can optimize our life so that our problems don't destroy the good things that we want in life, the good things that we want for the people that we serve, the good things that can manifest once we finally start thinking about our life from a holistic perspective. And as I'm saying this right now, I'm thinking about a worship leader in a church that I don't go to, just different church I go to. And he was the worship leader for 16 years at this particular church. And his wife is a life coach. And, well, she's really more about success, money coach. But anyway, and it came to find out that over the course of the 16, 17 years, he was sending sexually explicit content to the young men that were at his church. The scandal got out. They did an investigation within the church, and he was immediately dismissed from that position. His wife was on a book tour promoting her book and announced on Instagram that she was suspending it while she figures out what's going on. And I was talking about this with a client of mine, and I said, these problems between both of them were brewing to a hit a fever pitch. It was brewing to the point where nobody could ignore what was really going on with either the husband or the wife. And don't you think for a second that wife had complete blinders on and she didn't know that her husband had struggles in this particular area of sexuality. Oftentimes, the people who are closest to us often know what's going on, but they're the slowest to tell, because if they talk about what the things that they observe, that opens the door to uncomfortable conversations about themselves that they don't want to have. Now, I'm going to talk now about five main areas that we can have unbalanced life, but I just kind of thought about that particular story on my mind, because for oftentimes, when we have an unbalanced life, there's always a one or two enablers, codependents, people pleasers that are grinning and nodding their head as they watch us barrel straight down to the inferno. That's just how it is. In order for us to find rationalizations, we usually have to find people along the line, along with us, who are willing to say, oh, it's everything's okay, when it's really not. But anyway, let's talk about examples of business owners who are living unbalanced life. They either are workaholics, they neglect their relationships, they neglect their health, they are exhausted financially, overextended, and they lack time. I kind of mentioned that bonus one we talked about in the beginning, where we have people who are enabling us, but that's kind of not really the direction that I was going to say. But that is also an example of someone who's living an unbalanced life, when you're ignoring your needs and it's fueling addictions that are causing harm to not just yourself, but other people. Addiction, compulsions, that's something that I do specialize in, but it was just on my mind and that I just want to share with you. But anyway, let's go into number one, workaholism. Some business owners can become really obsessed with their work, neglecting their personal lives, relationships, and health. I mentioned back to the earlier example about that life coach that I mentioned, where there was no way she didn't see her husband slowly implode, but she was more about trying to build her brand, getting her name recognized, that everything around her was imploding. And if you are in that camp of workaholism, you might find yourself spending a lot of time at your office, constantly checking emails, working on projects to the detriment of your well-being in your relationships. I remember I was having a conversation with one of my co-followers on social media, and I told him flat out, I'm not going to be doing any type of video connection on X because I got reprimanded from my husband for spending hours on end on that platform. And I wasn't spending any time with my son, my husband, our family, because I was so more consumed about likes and stats and followers and not missing out on what was going on. And that came from a place of wanting to seek validation. Oftentimes when you're dealing with someone or yourself that has an issue of workaholism, what it really is a obsession of feeling validated. If you grew up in a household where you're invisible or you're only stroked or made to feel good about yourself when you achieve something, or you never felt good enough unless you've got a new trophy, a new shiny new trophy that symbolizes a new win, or you need money as a symbol of success, whatever you got going on, it's never really desire for work, is what I'm trying to say. It's really the desire to fulfill something that's within you that you never had. And if unless you deal with that brokenness, that deep pain, you will keep striving and hunting. And I remember thinking about one particular coach that I worked with in the beginning of, before I transitioned to life coaching, when I was just more business coaching. And then she openly said that even though I crossed the 1 million mark, I still don't feel like it's enough. I want 10 million. And she said that she come to recognize that it's really not about the money. It's just about crossing one goalpost after another. And the thing about money is it makes a great, great servant, but a horrible master. And so if you're just chasing the prize, if you're chasing the recognition, it can and will kill you. It kind of reminds me, I've had the pleasure of interviewing several authors on my podcast, several authors. And it's funny as I say this because some of their books I've had on my bookshelf for over 15 years, come to talk with them and realize that hunger for fame and recognition is literally killing them in terms of just prolifically writing, prolifically trying to go on promotions, prolifically just trying to do stuff because they never dealt with the inner pain from that or all those early years of trying to build up their name. All right, let's talk about number two, neglecting your relationships. Kind of talked about in the workaholism, but I want to talk about it in more detail right now. This is where you might prioritize your work over your relationships and might find yourself distancing yourself from family and friends. As a result, you might miss important events or milestones, which lead to strained relationships and feelings of isolation. The other day, I was reading an article about this is Wall Street Journal, the day of the life of a store manager that makes $240. Well, her base was $120. She got $120 in bonuses. I guess they matched it. It was a very interesting story. It talked about her ascension as a 19-year-old with two kids, and then over the course of time, she got promoted from different section managers all the way to a store manager. And she said, "Yeah, as I was growing in the company, I missed a couple of birthdays, I missed some events, and I couldn't help but think about all those moments, about missed birthdays, about missed family events." And she said, "Well, I have more balance now, but I wonder what of the effects of that. Of mommy has to constantly be connected." She said that I'm always thinking about my job. For some of us, do we have more energy about our business than our loved ones? Because trust and believe that there are so many other opportunities for us to grow professionally, but so many limited opportunities about the people that are closest to us. When you go to your grave, are you going to be thinking about what your next customer said on the comment section on your of your product? Are you going to be caring about what your sister or your brother said about you? For lots of us, again, we really didn't feel connected with the people that are supposed to be helping us navigate difficult and different life circumstances. So we just think, well, I can't find comfort and satisfaction in my family or my friends, but I can find satisfaction in this sale or this statistics about my business. And I understand where that pain comes from. I may not know your specific situation, but I understand how we could easily get into neglecting relationships because if the people around us are poorly emotionally dysregulated, don't know how to speak with kindness, don't know how to comfort us when we need it, we might find ourselves more apt to connecting with our clients or our other business associates and just letting that go to hell. And because we're not feeling connected, they can pick up on that energy and treat us equally bad. And then it just spirals into something just terribly wrong. Number three, let's talk about neglecting your health. We just talked about workaholism and neglecting your relationships. I want to talk about neglecting your health. Some business owners neglect their physical and mental health in the pursuit of success. Skipping meals, foregoing your exercise, ignoring signs of burnout and stress, and putting your well-being at risk. I remember I was talking with one particular client, and she said that she, to get more out of her day, sometimes she would wear adult diapers. There's no other way of saying it. And it was designed for, you know, people who have, weak bladder control, but she would purposely wear diapers so that if she was working so hard and she could relieve herself in order to prevent herself from getting up. Now you can imagine how much strain that could put on your body if you were doing that months, if not years. And then she said, well, no, I only did that when it was crunch time, when I was just trying to get some deliverables out. But let's think about another way. Think about, so for some of you guys, I know this might have been sounding like an extreme situation, but what about not drinking enough water during the day? What about some of you guys who are not even taking care of your physical health? You know, do you know that our ancestors were in that caveman days, they walked anywhere between 16,000 to 20,000 steps a day, foraging, looking for food, gathering materials to take back to their site. And we in Western society are lucky we can get even 4,500 steps a day. Now, I know that their lifestyle was completely different than modern day society, but the point I'm trying to make is that our bodies need to physically move. But if we're just sitting down and just working day in and day out, and please, I don't really want to get into this conversation where people say, well, I just do my workout 3 times a week, but the rest of your time is actually just sitting down. That's completely unhealthy too. You have to be moving on the hours, every hour, for at least 12 hours a day in order for your body to not cramp out, for the organ to work optimally. It's literally a machine and it has to keep moving. Am I saying that you need to be exercising all day, every day? Denise didn't say that. I'm just making sure that you understand how your body works and functions so that you can finally live optimally, okay? Now, number four, let's talk about overextending yourself financially. This is hard. Because in order to get anything out of your business, you have to invest into it. But if you're just putting all of it in, all your money in, you might not have any money for retirement, not any money for emergencies, which leaves you completely vulnerable for financial calamities. I was talking with a client of mine a few years ago, and she told me that she would frequently have to dip into her 401k to be able to help pay expenses related to her business, meet payroll. It was just insane, all because she just believed that if she just kept pushing financially, she would get a return. And as a result of that, it was just completely completely overwhelming at times. She couldn't sleep. It led to the insomnia. She couldn't focus at well because she was just like, oh my goodness, when's the next financial bomb going to drop? That's not unhealthy. That's not a healthy way to live. Completely unhealthy. And we talked about health neglect, financial overextension. Let's lean into the last one, number five, lack of leisure time. If you're, it doesn't matter if you've started your business or just getting in the swing of things, but if you prioritize your work above all else with little to no leisure activities or hobbies, you might miss out on opportunities for relaxation and enjoyment, which leads to feelings of burnout and dissatisfaction. I've seen it all the time. Business owners who are working routinely 12, 14-hour days. And don't get me wrong. There are some times where you actually need to grind it out. There's nobody but you at the helm, and you just need to crank this one out. And I get those moments. But if you're constantly working over and over and over again, you're not allowing yourself those moments where you can think creatively. I was talking with my son. We were just kind of walking around the neighborhood yesterday, and I wasn't thinking about work at all. And he was just kind of sharing some things about what was going on in his life, some things that he was doing last year during summer camp. I didn't even know. I got to bond with my boy. I got to think about some ideas, and that helps me feel relaxed and recharged so that when I finally get back at it at work, I'm not feeling frazzled. I'm not feeling overwhelmed. I'm not feeling exhausted. I know there's somebody listening to this right now who just feels so exhausted. And we need to start learning how to work easy, not harder. Easy. Because here's the thing. Doing anything substantial is truly a life journey. And for so many of us, I know we just want it like yesterday. We're hungry for finally achieving our dreams, letting it manifest into something that we can actually, it's tangible. We can put our hands around it. We can grip it. We can just do something with it. And and sometimes those moments of just waiting just feels nerve-wracking. So we feel like we have to put more hours in, more hours in, more hours in, even more, to the point where we're not even taking care of our bodies. We're not taking care of our mind. Our relationships around us are just going straight to hell, and we don't know what's going to happen next because we have just turned over our sense of well-being into things and people that we can't control. That's just no way to live. So you may be just listening to all this and going, wow, we've talked about some really depressing things. Workaholism, neglecting relationships, neglecting our health, overreaching financially, and lack of leisure time. So you're thinking to yourself, okay, Denise, do you have a pot of gold at the end of this rainbow? Like, I shouldn't say rainbow, this the end of the sewer dump. Like, is there something good to be had after all this? Well, first and foremost, I just want to thank you for listening to this because this is not an easy conversation. And I want you to understand that as I'm saying this, I'm mentioning some extreme things and you may be at that extreme, but here's a good thing. No matter where you've gone or where you are right now, there's always a way to find more equilibrium. And this is not so much an issue of, for some of you guys, time management, maybe it is, but it's really understanding who you are and your identity and your worth. If you've been listening to this podcast for some time, I've been talking about my love of physical fitness and understanding your body and how your body works. And I was telling my husband the other day that I find myself watching a lot of the previews and the Apple Fitness. I've got Apple Fitness and it's really fun. It's kind of workouts on your phone. But anyway, I tell him a lot. I listen to the previews. And he's like, why do you listen to these previews about, you're not doing the workout, you're just listening to the preview. And I said, before I do the workout, I just listen over and over to different types of workout because they always say something motivational. And they always tell me about where I can be if I put my mind in the right spot. And for a lot of us, the reason why we don't have equilibrium is because we're always trying to lean in and amplify the things that we've got going great, but we try to ignore the things that are not going great. And the way that we can find that balance is I want you to start thinking about positive things that can manifest if you put in the effort to improve your health or your relationships. And of course, it never looks great in the beginning. It always looks crappy. And that's why we try to avoid, deny, suppress, neglect, minimize, personalize. There's so many different ways that we can make problems worse. But what I'm saying is, what would happen if you actually paused and asked yourself, if I thought positively about myself, I thought positively about what I can do, how can I make the situation better? Not just for me, not just for my employees, my team members, but for my family members, for myself. If I gave the effort into finding more time with my family members, of course, they're going to be skeptical. And of course, they might feel a little uneasy because they don't see you wanting to be intentional. But what if I consistently did it, not so much for the result, but for the desire and belief that I am a kind, generous person with my time, not just because they're paying me, but that's just who I am, my identity. What would happen? What would happen if you purposely invested in things that encouraged you to be better in the areas where you're deficient? Improving our lives truly is a journey. And of course, you're going to have ebbs and flows along the way. But if you're intentional, if you have accountability, and you have a vision, truly, I don't believe anything can stop you. Well, at least that's my opinion. Equilibrium and balance always start with identifying, organizing, and prioritizing. Identify, organize, and prioritize your time, your attention, and your efforts. And making sure that someone other than you knows that you have this goal can make all the difference if you want to find that balance that you desperately deserve. It's within your grasp. You just need to get at it. Well, that is it. As always, I enjoy our time with one another. What about this podcast episode was encouraging or motivated? Where do you need to find more balance in your life? Is it with your health? Is it with your family? Is it with how you organize your time? I'd love to hear from you. Send me a message via DeniseGLee.com. On the banner, you can actually hit contact and send me a message. Love to hear your thoughts. Also, connect with me on social media. Love to hear what you think about what it means to find balance and equilibrium in your life. Well, as always, take care of yourself. Find the balance and seek things that make you feel good about yourself. Well, until next time, take care and be awesome.